We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We trust that our service today will be blessed to the Lord and thus be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gospel, and we're thankful for the privilege of sharing it with this precious congregation today. We're trusting that as our service goes forth, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to every heart. We ask you to minister to our congregation. You see those that have physical needs or other needs, and we know that you are a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of compassion. So bless our congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, Without Holiness. By holiness of life is meant a life free from sinning. It is also called a holy life and a sinless life. According to Jesus, this is the kind of life it takes for us to see God in peace and have eternal life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, a simple, straightforward statement is made. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Why is it that so many people do not believe that portion of Scripture? In so much of the religious world today, the supposed Christian world I'm speaking of, people, preachers included, are saying that we are all sinners, that we sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. The Bible does say that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. John tells us that if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Also, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's 1 John 1 and 10. And here the Apostle John is saying that if we say that we have lived all of our life and have never sinned, we make God a liar, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, anyone who has done what this verse says, and I want to refer you to John 1 and 9 now, or 1 and 8, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we have done that, we are no longer a sinner. And anyone who has done that should no longer say that they are a sinner, even a sinner saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace is not biblical. We have not sinned once the Lord has saved us from our sins. We should say, I was a sinner, and I have been saved by the grace of God, and I am no longer a sinner. And that's not boasting. It's just simply speaking the truth of the Word of God. As early as Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, we read, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar or a separate treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Even in Old Testament times, their offerings had to be perfect. They couldn't offer the Lord a sickly lamb or a sickly ox, one broken leg or anything. We read in Leviticus chapters 22 and verse 9, But whatsoever hath a blemish shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable to God. Now, if an animal had to be perfect, and of course they were types of Christ and his suffering, but if an animal had to be perfect, what about a sinner and his supposed worship of God? We are told in the Scriptures by Jesus, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we come over into the New Testament, we read where Peter wrote, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or a separate people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And if you've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel, then let us walk in the light as he is in the light. And if we'll do that, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with Christ, and we have fellowship with his people. Now in 1 Chronicles 16 and 29 we read, Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we read the same in Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How can a sinner worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness if he's still living in sin, even though he does profess to be a Christian? We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35 about a highway, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean, that's talking about the sinner, the unclean shall not pass over this highway of holiness, but the redeemed, that is the Christians, shall walk there. So we read in Isaiah 35. The angel's message to Joseph was, when he considered putting Mary away privily, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Not only did John teach that those who abide in Christ do not sin, but Jesus himself taught it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." John chapter 8, verses 34, 35, and 36. The Apostle Paul also teaches a life free from sin. Now, some people use Romans chapter 7 to support their false doctrine of sin that you must, thinking or trying to convey the idea that Paul was speaking of himself as a Christian. But Paul was not speaking of himself as a Christian, but as a church member. Notice what he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Verse 15 of Romans 7. Paul goes on to say, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, was he talking about the Christian here? The body of death was sin. The cry of a, was that a cry of a Christian? No, of course not. Paul answers his own question when he said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" "I thank God," he says, "through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Paul's words in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 are also used to support the sin you must doctrine. But let us look at what the Apostle Paul said here in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. And whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to run, to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Does that describe a Christian? Notice again verse 10, "as it is written." So Paul is referring to an Old Testament scripture, And so let us turn to Psalm chapter 14 and begin reading with verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Would you expect to find righteous people among those that are described here in this 14th Psalm? Of course not. And neither could we find it in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 6, we find Paul asking, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? The answer, God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Later in this chapter, we read, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments to unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? And that's Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Again, looking at the writings of the Apostle John, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And now I'd like to quote a few statements from the book What the Bible Teaches by the late F.G. Smith. He had emphasized the fact that Christians live holy lives. And then he said, now we will notice what the Bible has to say about the other side. Jesus is speaking, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. John 8 and 34. Peter, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. The Apostle Paul, when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Romans chapter 6 and verse 20. And James, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James chapter 4 and verse 6. And Jude, ungodly sinners walking after their own lusts, having been men, persons in admiration because of advantage, these be they who separate themselves from the truth, from the doctrine of sin, a sinless life, sensual, having not the Spirit, Jude chapter verses 15 through 19. And John, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness, 1 John 5 and 19. And to get another picture, and that's the end of the quote from Smith's book, to get another picture of the difference between the Christian and the unsaved, I will read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24. And the first is the sinful heart. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now the Christian heart, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," Matthew 5 and 8. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Jeremiah 17 and 9. That may not be the state of every unsaved person, but they do not have a pure heart. And it is the pure in heart that shall see God in peace and have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the truth of the gospel with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied it and will make it a blessing to each one. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We would be thankful if you take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there. In fact, we have a number of them there in the last few years are posted there that you can read. Also, we have a number of our broadcasts that you can listen to again if you have missed any or would like to hear one over. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
walk away.